welcome back to the 343 Sparkcast. This is our episode for December. Hopefully, it will release in December. I, of course, am David Ellis, content producer here at 343. I'm joined by two very special guests. Well, one more special than the other. I'll let you decide which is which. On my left is Mr. Frank O'Connor, Franchise Development Director here at 343.
Special ed, special bus.
Oof. Starting out on a high note.
Yeah. You meant me. I could tell from your stupid face.
I didn't do air quotes when I said special.
Yeah, so. we're all salty because we're the only ones in the holiday break.
Yeah. So the actual special guest I was referring to was Allison Stroll, senior producer here at 343.
No. When you introduce a lady, you have to do something like a little more penthouse, a little more continental.
Well, considering that Allison is my boss,
Miss
I don't
Allison
know that
Stroll.
Would be appropriate.
Actually, that's a good point.
See, this
hey,
is
Allison,
super...
can you introduce yourself in a way that is a $10 word, but like is HR appropriate?
No pressure.
Hi, everyone. I am Allison Stroll.
Excellent.
The what Allison Stroll?
The superfluous Allison Stroll.
Oh, come on.
This is an awkward podcast for me because I'm joined by my boss and my boss's boss.
Yeah. Oh, but it's even better for me. It's an Allison sandwich.
Yeah, let's just keep moving on.
Yeah.
I've just pressed the button that auto reports myself to human resources that they installed on my desk. So I'm
just for you.
I'm pressing it more frantically than a bank clerk during a robbery right now. So
real quick, before we kind of kick things off, we actually have a special surprise at the end of this week's podcast. We're actually going to have an excerpt from the audiobook for Karen Travis' book, Halo Glasslands.
Not a surprise now, really, is it? Because now you've
Well, it's a special surprise because you had to download it and listen to the opening.
Well, it's a surprising now, but it won't be surprising when you get to the end of the file.
Well, maybe. Maybe I'll have a couple of seconds, an indeterminate amount of blank,
yeah.
No audio.
Good idea. Like,
and then it just
like
hits.
A bonus track on an album.
Yeah. Covert. And who do we have to thank for sending that along, Allison?
We are thanking Esther at Macmillan Audio. And also...
I once dated a girl named Esther.
You have a lot of Esthers in your past, I think.
Were you dating a golden girl?
No, she was very young.
Hmm. You don't think you can be young and be named Esther.
Esther?
It was notable even at the time. Yes.
This Esther is young.
Oh.
Well. And incredibly nice. And we also, of course, need to thank the... I'm trying to go for inimitable Karen Travis. Inimitable is a compliment, right?
I dated a girl named Karen as well.
Did you date a girl named Inimitable?
No.
So yeah, that'll be running at the end of the podcast, and we now return you to our regularly scheduled broadcast. Well, so we're recording this. I am actually technically already on vacation, but we had some scheduling issues. So last week.
Also, we had scheduling issues.
Yes. I don't know what that word was, but I think it involves scheduling with podcasts.
Yeah.
It's a new term.
Schodcast.
So I came in, and Frank and Allison, you came in. You're technically on vacation as well.
Yeah. I'm not on vacation.
You don't do vacation. You live here. Let's be honest.
I'm the Grinch.
Speaking of Grinch, I'm disappointed. We talked about it a little earlier. You shaved your beard, your manly
I didn't
man
know
beard.
I shaved my beard. You're paying more attention to my beard than I am.
Did you fall on a razor or
after Movember, it's just back to a normal random pattern of laziness, blah, blah, blah.
No, yeah. It moved to the top of his head.
Yeah, it did. It's upside down. My head's on upside down right now.
I'm just saying the beard is a wonderful thing. And I'm disappointed that you gave it up to be a clean-shaven man.
Whatever, Grizzly Adams, I'm enjoying my smoothness right now.
So it's a little quiet here in the office because it's the holiday season.
Late.
Yes.
There's plenty of parking. There's still loads of people here.
Yep.
And it's funny, there's loads of different sets of people in different disciplines who are on different deadlines. So there's whole sets of discipline who are completely just here crunching the whole way through the holiday break. And there's an unsung group. Our accounts and finance people, they have to be here because they have to do January 1st stuff. So all my meetings this week were with those guys, and they're like, how much money are you going to spend on travel and entertainment? And I'm like,
did you
all
say
of it.
All of
I
the
said,
money?
Well, yeah, as Allison knows, we Halo 4 comes out next year, and it will be our biggest – this is so boring we're talking about accounting. But it will be our biggest travel year in 343's history because we will be sending people all over the world for the launch stuff as the sort of marketing and PR machine gets spun up.
We're planning on the community speed. Team is going to visit each and every person's home who buys
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yes, like Santa.
Yeah. Yeah, David.
Except for that one guy, and you know who you are. We're not going to your house.
Lars.
No, that's not true. I am going to house to deliver my
If you're good, you get Jessica. And if you're bad, you get David.
What about?
I don't know what that means.
I thought I was the coaling you're stalking.
Oh.
I think I just got thrown under the bus. Yeah. I don't feel very good about that.
That's
all right.
But, you know, you're talking about next year being a big year, of course, with Halo 4 coming out. But, I mean, really, 2011 was hugely important for us at the studio because for the first time we could actually admit to being a game development studio in addition to everything else.
You know, and working on Halo 4 and naming it and naming ourselves. All sorts of things. I mean, we've been doing tinkering as 343, and it's obviously setting people's and this is unavoidable, but it's setting people's expectations for what kind of studio we're going to be. But you got to caution people. You can't you got to make your mind up about 343 based on Halo 4, because that's going to be the first time that it's full court press on a single project for the whole studio.
And you talk about people making up their minds about what kind of studio we are. To be honest, we don't really fully know what kind of studio we are quite yet, because it's still a huge group of people that have come together within the last year or two. I mean, there were people who were there before then.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of the people in the studio, I mean, we're over 200 strong, have not been here all that long. And people are still honestly getting to know each other, obviously working very hard on the project as they had for some time. But
I still see new faces, and we've cleverly managed staff so they're coming in appropriate waves at the appropriate time.
Yeah.
But it's hard to ramp up that quickly. The thing that makes it easier is the shared passion for Halo. And I've mentioned that before, but it's hard to understate. Being able to hire someone whose main interest in developing games is their interest in developing a Halo game makes it easier. If we were working on a brand new IP, I think a lot of the cultural stuff that you just mentioned or just into that would be incredibly difficult, because there wouldn't be a shared vision, there wouldn't be a shared passion, and there wouldn't be a shared understanding or identity. So in that way, we've been really fortunate and able to, I think, cohesively create a persona and a culture for the studio far more rapidly, but more importantly, far more naturally than we would have without that tool.
I think one of the things that's actually been fantastic in the last 6 months of the year, once we announced, of course, Halo 4 and Halo Anniversary, I really feel like we're really starting to gel as like a culture internally and really find that identity.
Yeah, I think you're projecting a little bit.
No, I don't think so.
And here's why. I think that the more conversations that we have as a studio about more and more content and more polished content, the more common ground and the more excitement and understanding. I mean, I know in the last few weeks, we had a big milestone a couple of weeks ago. I could probably name it, but just in case, I won't. And it was just we definitely created a pieces of the game that were at a polished level. So you know, now there's obviously a lot of green geometry and a lot of placeholder sound effects and stuff in our development process. But this was a thing where if you'd come into the room, it would have looked like shipping project, and the level of excitement, because that was kind of the target that created as the studio saw all the layers fit into place, was palpable. And I think that got the studio excited as a single organism in a way that it hasn't necessarily it does this a little bit as we get to milestones, but this was one where we're like, yeah, we can ship this thing and it's going to look amazing. And you've had those discussions.
That's honestly what I was kind of hitting at is the fact that, you know, the way that game development works, and of course, I've only been here for, you know, a little less than 2 years at this point, and I've never worked on anything game related before. So when I came in day one and saw stuff, I was like, oh, that's what this looks like when it's not polished for a press demo.
Oh, wow, you sound like an executive. Maybe you're in the wrong career track. Yeah, why is this thing green? Is it going to sound like that when it ships? Yeah, that's
right. Well, I mean, you just have to realize I was coming in from a perspective of never having seen stuff like that before. I'm sure you had a similar reaction to when you came on at Bungie back in 2004, although that was the year the game launched, so it was probably pretty far along at that point.
Not me. I've been here since the beginning of game development time, and it's always
Allison
you kids.
Worked on Azeric.
Yeah, I didn't work on Azeric, you jerk.
She invented it.
I was working at Azeric's time. I was working on the excellent game Psychonauts, so shove it.
Ooh, la-di-da, I love Limbo.
I do love Limbo.
So do I, but you
it's true. You have an impressive resume. You've worked on Street Fighter, Psychonauts.
Allison's
Street Fighter, Psychonauts. Yeah. I worked on Capcom games forever, the arcade games, because that's how old I am.
Allison's always all up in your face. She's like, cancel this, bitch.
Yeah, because I love to cancel games. It's No. Let's see. I worked on some stuff that didn't ship, speaking of canceling.
What?
I worked on a game called Torque that we canceled.
Oh, yeah.
Torque. Yeah. And, some, we had a little like helmet. It was kind of like a BC kid for the Turbo.
Yeah, it was super cute.
Like Bonk a little bit.
Yeah. He was super cute little dude.
That's what I meant.
T-Walk. Yeah. Those BC guys went on. Those guys went on to make map packs.
That game was pretty good.
Shooter map packs. Well, it was, nobody wants platformers anymore, I guess.
But that's why it got canceled.
Well, back then, maybe.
Yeah, in
2001.
Nobody wanted platformers.
Another game that was really good. Was remember the Peter Molyneux prehistoric runaround game? Yeah, was it called BC?
Yeah,
it was.
Did that
was actually it never did, but it was really fun.
It was all levels in trees.
No. It was a lot of like really open world exploring. You could like jump off of cliffs and stuff, and it was totally working.
Wasn't that the game that Troy Dunaway was the PM on? And it was here.
No, it was Peter Molyneux related. But I remember
playing it. I'm just
going
to nod my head and say yes, that was the game.
It was actually really fun. It was like Skyrim, and you could just run around super fast, jumping off cliffs.
If it was really fun, that wasn't.
I don't know if there was a real game in there, but the open world exploration stuff and the animation, everything was great.
Have you been playing Skyrim at all, Frank?
I played it a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
how far into it are you?
Well, you know how Kevin Grace was telling us that story about how like he was fighting an ogre and then a dragon came down and swooped off with the ogre and then he chased the dragon across the plains and then he brought the dragon down and he took its skull out and he made a trophy out of it.
I thought it was a little unnecessary. He had a mandolin playing in the background where he's telling that story. Yeah.
But I've eaten some dragonflies. I got out of the fortress in the start after the dragon wrecked it. And then I ate some dragonflies. That's my experience.
That's one of the great things of Skyrim.
I left home and I ate dragonflies.
That's got a macro and a micro experience.
Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Yep. So I have a question.
Yeah.
I also am a mom of twin boys and I have a full-time job.
Hilariously doesn't know that twin boys are automatically what?
One is good and one is evil.
Or they're both evil and they stand at the end of a hallway scaring the crap out of you.
Well, that's fair too.
But they're definitely supernatural.
Yeah. I mean, but you have to look into a mirror to see the evil.
Yeah. But Allison was not aware of that.
Yeah.
This conversation usually ends with me crying.
Yeah, she takes it really personally as well.
So
that's needs more you Netflix.
That's because you wake up every morning and one of your sons is standing over your bed just staring at you.
Yeah. Just staring. But it's because he loves me. So I only have so much gaming time. Mm-hmm. And in addition to all of the excellent Halo games that I have and continue to play, I am like drooling over either it's going to be SWORTOR.
Old Republic.
Swotar.
Okay.
Or Skyrim. Which one's it going to be, folks?
I'm not the guy to ask about RPGs. Yeah,
I think
really
unless you want to put your kids up for adoption, you should go with Skyrim.
I asked on Twitter, like, do I sell the kids now?
I believe that Skyrim lets you sample more in a way that like Red Dead Redemption lets you just sample bits. You can just go get on a horse, ride around, check it out, enjoy. Like, and that's what I get out of those open world experiences anyway, so I would say Skyrim. But I don't know.
I feel like a heroin addict staring
if
at
I didn't
big
have to
giant
work,
jar of heroin.
I didn't actually have to come in the office and work every day. I would go to the Old Republic and I would just stay home.
Does heroin come in jars?
I don't think so.
I'm looking in my mind it does.
I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. It's going to be Skyrim.
Yeah, Skyrim. What else is coming out? Is there any games that were late?
I used to have like 6 games on my pile of shame that I haven't even touched yet.
The PS Vita launched in Japan to come out in February here. So.
Yeah.
I can't tell what's going on with that. I just can't get a feel for the.
Yeah, I think it sold pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
320
something. 21
something
like that. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Isn't that the one with the weird memory deal?
No, it just has expensive memory cards.
Yeah.
It's not weird. It's the usual proprietary memory. I mean, Microsoft makes expensive proprietary memory cards.
Not anymore.
That's right. You can just put a USB stick all up in there. Yeah. Take that, Sony. Anyway. I don't want to. Yeah.
So I'm basically. The kettle black. I know for me, when I'm using my holiday break to just catch up on games. It's kind of all I'm doing.
Yeah. So what are you going to play?
I have to buy a 3DS.
Oh, you don't have one yet?
Why do you need one? You can't see 3D.
I'm on the AIAS panel for the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences fighting game panel. Back to our cancel conversation.
Do you play fighting games?
Yeah, I'm quite good at some fighting games and very bad at others. Street Fighter 4, I just can't.
What's your go-to game?
What's my go-to game? Turtle.
Well, what's your go-to game?
I thought you meant style.
No, that's fair.
Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, the correct game.
That's hardcore.
That's the correct game.
So. I approve of that.
Akuma.
Mm. Akuma. I believe you mean Akuma.
No, I don't. And if I were playing Tekken, Mrs. Mokujin.
Mm-hmm. I was cheesy, but Tekken 3 was the last one that I really played, and I usually played as Ogre, the boss character.
Yeah, so
I'm that guy.
I have to buy a 3DS to play one of the games that's on the
Do you get to write that off your taxes?
I doubt it. They send it to me for free, so that would be a crime. Oh, the 3DS. I mean, what would that be, like a dollar savings off my taxes?
If that.
Yeah, so, but I can't see 3D, so
I know.
All my review will be caveated on the 3DS. Yep.
Well, anyway. Your frame rate will be better.
Yeah, sure.
Because some of the games is like 30 frames per second. If it's in 3D, 60 frames if you go to
fighting games.
There you go.
Yeah, all right.
So.
Anyway, back to the subject of Halo. We were talking about how the studio culture is condensing around the game itself, and that is obviously the best way for a studio
it's
culture
getting,
to condense.
We sit near the multiplayer team over here, but not directly next to them.
Yeah.
We sit like a good, what?
Probably two rows over.
Yeah. Probably 20 people away. Yeah. And every day at 3 o'clock, it's like gets real over there. Yeah. And just the other day, it got so real that I had to get up and go over and be like, what is happening over here? I kind of imagine that they were like, that's if it was a bunch of women, you know how a bunch of women are in a room and like a baby, somebody, a new mom with a baby.
No, I can't
walks
see
in.
Gender. I just see in shades of pink.
Well, if you've ever, so for those of you listening, there are women and they have babies and somebody walks in with a baby and all the women in the office go, aw, like all the women come over and say, aw, same thing with a tiny puppy. Aw, it's like, it was the male version
Halo,
of that.
Halo 4
it was
is
like,
a communal
roar!
Baby.
There was this masculine burst of masculinity. They all grew hair, like Jimu, who can't grow a beard, I think, instantly had a grizzly.
And there's girls on staff as well, and they had beards.
They had beards, which they don't normally. They're, you know, they're all stunning women.
There were some awesome, awesome mustaches for Movember.
Oh,
no. We made a bunch of documentary stuff in November.
Yes.
And we made some for internal presentation. Some will be stuff that you'll get to see.
Yeah.
And
put them up in our bulletin.
It just looks like everyone drives around in a panel van. I mean, it's awful. There's all these creepy mustaches.
No, Tom, well, he has the epic beard of Wonderman.
Who grew the monkey tail?
Oh, that was Chris.
It was spectacular.
But it just makes it look like our studio is just staffed with people with weird facial hair. Whereas
we're a bunch of porn
November.
Stars.
Just don't make video footage in November.
Last year was even better because Dennis Reese participated and he looked like Morgan Spurlock.
He grew the full Spurlock. Yeah, I tweeted that picture this year if anybody wants to go back
with the cowboy hat.
With the cowboy hat and the super tight Wrangler jeans on.
But we digress. Like digressing is on sale for $19.99. So
which it is.
Yeah.
Available right
Best
now.
Buy.
Yeah.
So the team is yelling. And why were they yelling, Allison?
Well, I asked them that and they said that they told me exactly why they were yelling and I can't say it, unfortunately. But they were playing a thing that they made and a mode that was better than the last time they played that mode.
All right.
And it was phenomenal.
And it's
one of the
mode.
Fun things
it
about
blew,
that
it
is
blew their mind holes.
Every now and again, I'll be over there while they're playing this thing and I'll just grab a controller and play with one of the other designers. And then the end of the match, they'll just yell, "Oh, you did pretty good." Yeah. And turns out I was just playing the whole time.
I have a question for you because this is just something that I've maybe over-indexed on, but I was playing the milestone thing that we're talking about and noticing that a couple of the weapons, maybe a few of the weapons that have new sound effects, the sound effects were particularly effective at making you want to use the weapon, whether or not it was the most effective thing for the situation or not.
It's just fun
to
listen
to. That fighting one of the bad guys, I'm like, I shouldn't be using this, but it just sounded so good. I just kept.
You want to know what came to my mind when you were talking about that? You know how like Enfu has, isn't it Enfu who has farting rainbows? Does he do farting rainbow art?
I don't know.
I know he does.
I know it's
like
a PopCap artist.
Stuff.
It's the PopCap artist. I can't remember his name. I bid on it in Child's Play and I did not win it. But I imagine like a unicorn farting rainbows as the weapon you were just talking about.
You talked about sound effects and weapon sound effects.
Maybe. No, you're thinking – so the specific weapon that I'm thinking about has a really thick, visceral, fleshy metal
like a unicorn
feel.
Would if he farted rainbows.
Right. Yeah. That's not how the sound that I think.
Do we want to – you talk about weapon and you talk about weapon sound effects. Do we want to talk about the skull that was cut from Halo Anniversary?
Ooh, yes, you do.
Because people have found traces of it.
Yeah, go ahead. You might as well. I mean,
so originally there was going to be another skull. Some people have found traces of it in the game. And it got cut, unfortunately, pretty late. All it was going to do is going to replace all the weapon sound effects with various people on the staff yelling pew pew and bang bang and brrr. I don't know what that maybe that's an assault rifle.
It's a warthog engine.
Yeah. So basically all the sound effects were replaced by human versions of all those sound effects. And it was a pretty massive undertaking. And unfortunately, it got cut.
If we have the sound files, we should release them as ringtones.
Well, the good news, I mean, to be fair, hilarious as that would be, one of the things that you got out of not having it is the fact that you can have both soundtracks loaded in one or the other via the...
Yeah, it wouldn't have been able to happen otherwise because we filled the disc up to capacity.
You effectively have areas that you set aside for audio and video and all that stuff. So this would have, it just wasn't.
Well, you mentioned that, Allison, that the multiplayer team's over in this building, and a lot of people might not realize. So we moved into 434, which was formerly the Bungie building here in Kirkland, Washington.
Formerly a batting cage.
Really? I didn't know that. I knew it was formerly
a hardware store, and then they turned it into a batting cage as well.
Yeah. Interesting. So we moved in there, but then I think it was – we were basically just running out of room because, you know, like I said, we are over 200 strong. Yeah. So now we're also in an annex building, 550, which is
– up the hill.
Sort of next door, but not quite.
Which Bungie also used.
Yeah, they did. The funny thing is that when people first get moved to 550, they're like, well, we're being moved to the annex building. This sucks. It's a much better building. Like, the funny thing is, if you moved them into that building first and then said you're now moving down to a former batting cage, they would riot. So, yeah.
And especially nice because we moved in right towards the end of summer when it got really nice. Yeah. And so the views looking out in Seattle was just fantastic.
Except for out of our room where the building cries.
Yeah. So Allison and I and Jessica Shea, our community manager, share an office. I think it's probably the only office in the entire building.
J.M. Albertson has an office over on this side, but the rest of us
are pretty much
just special people.
Exactly. Yeah. So we have our own view, but for whatever reason, there was a technician working on the top of our building and left a water hose running for about 3 weeks. And it was only hitting the window right next to my desk, and it was getting really cold, so the water was turning to ice, and it sounded like hail hitting. We complained about it, and it took 3 weeks for them to believe that it was happening because people didn't believe it at
first.
We
filmed it.
Yeah.
To show people that it was happening. And I even tweeted it.
Yeah, 38 YouTube hits.
So. Yeah. No, it's TwitVid.
The crying building
I think
of Kirkland.
I think it's TwitVid. Yeah, people are going to start a religion about
it. I'm pretty sure Kirkland Cougar should have retweeted it. Would have doubled the views.
No, her mascara would have run.
In the fact that we have two different buildings, there's always naturally going to be competition between the two buildings on which one's better. We're recording this in 550, so I think that answers the question of which one's better.
Yeah.
The place with the room and a view.
Yeah. But the original building is old school.
Yes. It is old school. It's
real stinky.
I like it.
It's a little bit stinky.
Hey, that's the smell of production.
That manly sweat I was talking about earlier.
Yeah.
That's the smell of milestone. It's a milestone musk.
Yeah. Ooh. TM that shit. That's a good
musk
one.
Musk sounds like music. There's also a lot of music in that thing.
That's true.
Yeah. Sounding good.
Really awesome music.
It's sounding really good.
But one of the things we did recently is we were collecting food for a local charity called Northwest Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And it raises – it's collecting food for families in need.
They supply 250 shelters across all of Washington.
And Allison is you're one of our major charity coordinators around here for the studio. You work really hard on that. You did it at Halo Fest and – we just did Child's Play. We had a table there at Child's Play auction where we auctioned off some cool stuff. You probably saw a write-up in the bulletin. I think it was last week. So it would have been second week in December. So if you want to track that down to some cool pictures and stuff in there, Frank, you did a pretty awesome painting of Mr. Chief.
It's actually bigger than life size.
Yeah. With a really classy frame. Where did you get that frame from?
We sent them to the frame shop and said, hey – we could get a huge gilt-edged frame because no one would actually like those, and those will be the cheapest. So
it looked nice.
Yeah, it looks appropriate.
Well, the fun thing with Child's Play, they have this dinner every year where they have a silent auction and then a full-on auction with Jerry and Mike get up there and kind of do their shtick. And, Valve sold – I guess there was this – I can't remember the name, but there's this character that was drawn on one of the walls within Valve Studios. And they actually cut the piece of the wall out and sold the sheetrock, basically.
Wow.
And I think that went for quite a bit of money.
Wow.
Yeah.
And of course, Desert Bus always – this year, Desert Bus did what?
So for people who don't know what Desert Bus is, there was a Penn & Teller Sega CD game that was canceled. It never launched, but there was a mini game in it that's called Desert Bus where you basically drive, I think, between Los Angeles and Las Vegas in real time.
In real time. I know.
But of course, the bus – because of Penn and Teller and kind of their twisted sensibilities. The bus doesn't drive in a straight line, so you have to continually correct.
Yeah, it lifts to the left constantly,
yeah,
but slightly.
So a lot of people at this group, Desert Bus, started live streaming it every year for charity. And
it's not even an accurate rendition of the road between that. No. It's just like a vague
desert-y
highway.
So it's 16-bit era graphics.
But it's not like you get to drive through Baker, California or anything. That stuff just isn't in there. It's just the road. Yeah.
Yeah. So this year, I think they raised in excess of $300,000 or something.
I think so. Yeah. I feel like it was between $225,000 and $300,000.
It's just amazing to see how that's grown every year.
Child's Play itself that night did $351,000.
Yeah. So that
and
was
that
awesome.
Was not including Desert Bus. So all up, I think it was $500,000 that night.
Wow. Wow. And I think the Child's Play just announced that they have a record. I think it's something like almost $2 million for the year so far, which is a record once again.
So fantastic.
So definitely cool seeing that. But what we've done, we decided to do with Northwest Harvest, is start a competition to see which building could collect the most food for Northwest Harvest. Allison came up with a pretty awesome solution because we don't have as many people in our building as 434, but I think you came up with a pretty unique solution for helping us bridge the gap.
It was cool. I have to admit that I watched a couple episodes of The Apprentice, and that Donald Trump man, I don't think so, but what they all figured out was it's not how much money you can get personally to donate. It's like activating people around you to do things. So I got all this stuff that we had in the studio and put it on eBay and auctioned it. And it sold for, I don't want to say exactly how much, but the amazing amazing Louis Wu purchased it.
From HBO.
Yeah, he has a real name. It's not that.
Claude Herrera
bought it. And
Louis Wu is the sexy old man from Larry Niven's Ringworld series. Proponent of Rishathra. Look it up, kids. Oh, wait, don't look it up, kids.
Make sure you get your parents' permission before looking it up.
So when we found out it was Claude that bought it, we threw in tons of stuff. Frank gave a 7-bit Halo game.
Yeah. Oh, was that the
– I regifted
the Halo 2600?
Yeah.
No, not the 2600.
No, the NES.
I want to auction that next year.
The 2600 cartridge still stays there. Yeah, I had two of those NES cartridges.
That's cool. So. Does it do what's on the cartridge?
Secret.
It's literally a random NES game. So
nice.
I haven't plugged it in. I would bet it's Ice Climber or Clue Land.
Yeah, or Duck Hunt.
No, that would be cool, right? But so it's likely to be one
Ice Climber was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. Why don't you get back to lobbying for more Kid Icarus stuff?
Oh, I'm not that guy.
Sure you are.
So what we did is we raised all this, but then the folks on 434, Frank's people, as
did
it were.
Did you just call it 43 floor?
434.
We also call it downstairs.
David is bad at talking today.
That's because I'm in full-on vacation mode. I'm still in my pajamas.
Me too.
I didn't even change clothes.
Yeah.
You're lucky you got shoes. Fine. So, you guys did a silent auction internally?
Yeah.
What was being sold? I didn't actually go down there and see anything.
It loads a lot of packages of stuff. So it would be like bundles of things, rare steel Master Chief.
It was awesome stuff.
There's you could just tell what was. I mean, everything is sold, right? Because it's for charity. But there was the ridiculous excitement that people build up about things that they could have ordered on Amazon. Once it's in an auction, it's pretty fun to watch.
I just ordered – I just got it in, actually. I just saw my email that it got delivered today, my vinyl copy of the Halo Anniversary
Soundtrack. Oh, yeah. Nice. I don't even have one because I do not have a turntable.
Well, I mean, you can get one.
Well, why would I want a turntable?
For the soundtrack? It's a chicken and egg conversation.
Yeah. I saw a thing on Pawn Stars the other day where they had a little – it was like a crazy –
was the
Volkswagen,
Apprentice not on?
Right, it wasn't. It was crazy Volkswagen bus record player. And you put it on your record. The record stays still,
record.
And this thing drives around and plays it.
I've seen,
you could probably get that.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
That sounds
we should get one with a warthog.
Produce high fidelity sound.
We should produce a warthog needle.
Frank, make that happen.
I'm not going to encourage
Frank, you made
resurgence TM. Any more than this release.
Frank, you made the... the Grunt plushie happen.
I did.
You can make the warthog needle happen.
What's going to be the sequel to the Grunt plushie next year?
Grunt plushie.
With beard, well, optional beard. That. You can remove the beard.
Oh, it's like a Velcro beard. And it can be on top or on the bottom.
Yeah. Just rotate it. Yeah. Just rotate the whole headpiece. So my New Year's resolution is that we have to start a lot of really heavy lifting on the obviously the completion of the game, but also the push towards the marketing and the eventual launch of the game.
Start actually showing it and talking about it.
Eventually, yeah. Yes. We're not going to pick specific days. Actually, we went through this with the VGA Awards.
Yeah.
Where. You know, we were pretty blunt. Remember, kids, like, we will be vague about things for lots of reasons. We'll be vague because we're not ready to talk about it. Vague because the answer is yes and we don't want to admit it. Vague because the answer is no and we don't want to admit that. And it'll be based on, you know, legitimate reasons. We're not just trying to mess with you. But if we come out and say no, something isn't happening, corporate compliance requires – that is true. If we say no, it's not happening, then at that time it is not intended to happen. So there's nothing you can tell about a maybe or a hmm or a yes even, but you can tell a lot about a no. If we say no, it means no. Yeah. But there will be maybes and hmms and yeses
and a wink and a nod.
Yeah. We have a bunch of stuff that we're already planning for. The marketing guys are getting rolling. I mean,
even some of the early stuff I've heard of, if we pull it off, like, it's stuff that no one else has really ever done before. It's really awesome.
Yeah. We're excited about how nicely sort of integrated and coordinated everything is. Our marketing group are, I think people often think of them as suits and sort of extraneous to the project, but we have a marketing group that's integrated with our team and full and open and good and exciting creative communication at every step of the way, so that the stuff that you see from marketing is a real collaboration, and we're excited to share that with you next year. That's about all the detail we can go into, because as David said, some of it is fairly innovative. If we can pull it off, some of it is going to be conventional. Obviously, you're going to see the game at various periods during the year, and you're going to see video and audio material from us that we hope will blow your minds.
So, kind of tying in a little bit, is we're going to be launching Primordium, which is the second book in the Forerunner saga from Greg Bear.
That's right.
Here in a couple of weeks,
the 28th, we're going to have a preview chapter available for people to read. It's a very different book than Primordium in a way. It uses a much more personal perspective. Primordium kind of opens up the universe and from a very high level, and in this one we literally take you down to the ground level and see it mostly through the eyes of a single protagonist.
I just started reading it because I just got a copy because I'm reading it over the holiday break, and in much the same way that Cryptum kind of really, if you're a Halo fan, kind of blew your mind in the first 6 or 7 pages. There's some stuff that happens early on in Primordium that once you actually figure out what's going on, it does some of the same thing.
Yeah.
And some people have guessed, you know, where we're going with it, and some quite correctly, most very, very incorrectly. But it's been fun to see how that ties in, and then to see how some of that stuff will tie in with the future of the franchise. Yeah. I'm going to be enjoying reading the rest of that book over the holiday break.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get through 1Q84, the Murakami novel.
I hear it's good.
It's awesome.
Yeah. I want to like him so much, and every time I try to read one of his books, I fall asleep in the second chapter.
By read, do you mean listen to?
No, this I try to read with my eyes.
Because that's an internal conversation between you and I, is listening to a book the same thing as reading?
No.
Yeah, I agree.
No, it's
not. Isn't the important thing that you get the story?
No, the important thing is that you imagine the story.
Right. And I can still imagine
it. If you're listening
to
a book, you're receiving the story from someone else's vantage.
I am still imagining it. You have no idea what happens inside my mind, Frank O'Connor.
It's a third layer. There's the author's intent. There's your interpretation. And you put an audiobook in here, and this isn't necessarily a bad thing, especially with a good reader.
Yeah.
That adds another layer of removal from the intent of the author, and it may add something to the book for you, but it's not the same as reading it.
In that, I get to read it, because as I said, I have no time to do anything, and I usually fall asleep on page 2. So I have read –
Anyway, so Greg Bear.
Greg Bear.
He's going to be doing a tour to promote the book and chat with the fans.
Yeah, so Greg's going to be doing a book tour here primarily on the West Coast. I don't know if we've scheduled anything for the East Coast yet, but Just got an email from our friends at Tor this morning. It's going to be in early January. Starts January 5th here in Seattle. It's going to be at the University Bookstore at 7 p.m.
One of the best bookstores in the city. Legendary.
That's where we did the Cryptum. Yeah, similar one last year.
They have a cafe there, by the way.
And what's the date on that
one? And it's right next to Samurai Noodle.
Yeah. We should go there again this year.
The second best ramen place in Seattle after Aloha, which doesn't have beer, so it's not fully equipped.
Is it BYOB? Can you bring your own beer?
I think you probably could, but I don't know.
Yeah. Well, so Thursday, January 5th, in the University Bookstore in Seattle, 7 p.m. And then follows up, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So Friday at 7 p.m., he's going to be the Greg's going to be at Powell's Books, Cedar Hills Crossing. That's in Beaverton, Oregon. Saturday, it's actually an afternoon, Saturday, January 7th, 2:30 p.m. Greg's going to be in Mysterious Galaxy in Redondo Beach.
He works his way south.
California.
On the coast. Yep.
Then further south, Sunday, January 8th, 2 p.m., Mysterious Galaxy in San Diego. That's going to be at 2 p.m. And then the last date on the tour is in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at the Page One Bookstore. And that's on Monday, January 9th at 7 p.m. That's like every day. That's a hassle.
Yeah.
It's good for Greg.
A lot.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go to the San Diego one.
Yeah.
Because the
weather should be nice.
Well, the Marriott there still owes me a room for canceling my room on.
You're still bitter about that?
No, they did. They offered to give me a free room, and I'm not bitter at all.
You should do it during Comic Con next year.
Maybe they were very nice as they followed up.
Maybe you can upgrade to a suite next year.
Yeah.
Oh wait,
but you did upgrade to a suite last year. Comic Con.
That happens.
He
to
had
me.
Like a gym, and he had a pool in his room.
Yeah, it's just a little lap pool, barely 800 yards long.
So I think we're wrapping this up here. I don't think we have too much left to talk about. We got to get back on vacation. We got to get on vacation, recharge for the new year, because next year is going to be crazy.
Can I do that thing that Bernie always does at the end of the Rooster Teeth podcast? Wait, where are we eating?
Isn't the end of the – doesn't that always mean barbecue for those guys effectively?
Oh, by the way, we want to thank
– Oh, thanks to Rooster Teeth guys for the giant smoked turkey.
Yeah, and they sent a smorgasbord of delicious treats and meats to the office. So – thank
loads
you so much to everyone at Rooster Teeth for that. That was delicious.
Rooster Teeth, I've never seen so much meat. I think that's their new tagline.
Wow.
Anyway, so Bernie usually
goes – I'm pressing my button.
Usually Bernie goes, okay, so where are we eating? And then Joel slams the table.
Wow. Well, before we do that, I have to talk about the fact that post music, we have a very special portion of the Glasslands audiobook. That's going to run right after we finish the podcast, but in the file – after a little outro music piece. So yeah, I think that about wraps us up for the last podcast of 2011. We have some really cool stuff planned for you next year, 2012. So it's going to be pretty awesome. I want to thank, of course, Frank and Allison. Thanks for joining us this week. Thanks to everyone who's listened to the podcast this week and this month and this year. We look forward to, we have some really cool stuff planned for next year and we can't wait.
Yeah, happy holidays, everyone, and happy new year.
Yes, indeed.
It was an ugly bastard, and the temptation to kill it where it stood was almost more than Saren Osman could handle. It was also pretty upset. Its arms flailed as if it was on some passionate Sangheili rant about politics or religion or whatever they played instead of football. Its cloverleaf jaws snapping open and shut like a demented gin trap. Osman watched from the shuttle cargo bay with a rifle resting on the control panel. Matters could get out of hand with a 2.5-meter alien before you knew it. She was ready to drop the thing before it crushed Phillips. He could actually speak their language, even if some of the sounds defied simple human jaws. She wondered what he sounded like to them. He was making mirroring gestures back at the Sangheili, and although she couldn't hear the conversation, it seemed to be working. The alien did that odd trick with its split mandibles, pressing the two sides together to mimic a human jaw and trying to force out more articulate sounds. So the hinge head was mirroring too. It was a good sign. A good sign in a bad deal. No, not a bad deal. A dirty one. Osman stepped down from the bay, careful to keep her rifle close to her leg so she looked prepared but not threatening. Phillips glanced over his shoulder at her, seeming oblivious of the risk. I'd never take my eyes off that thing. God, what do they teach these academics about personal safety? She leaned against the hatch frame and waited, glancing at her watch to check Sydney time. Around her, the ruins of New Clanethly felt like a rebuke. The dead tapped her on the shoulder, appalled. And you're talking to these bastards now? On our graves? A shaft of sunlight struck through a break in the clouds and threw up a bright reflection from a lake in the distance. No, that's not a lake. Her brain had joined up the dots and made the wrong assumption. She eased her data pad out of her jacket pocket one-handed and checked. There was no body of water for 100 kilometers on the map in the CAA factbook. The reflective surface was vitrified sandy soil, mirror smooth, square hectares of it, where there had once been rye and potatoes. When the Covenant glassed a planet, they really did just that. Phillips gestured to get her attention and distracted her from the uncomfortable thought that the planet was making a point to her. He walked over to the shuttle, looking pleased with himself. "The bishop wants a word," he said. "I told him you were the boss woman. His English is pretty good, so play it straight. And don't call him an elite. Use the proper name. It matters to them." Osman pushed herself away from the bulkhead with her hip. "What, like Bishop?" "Ignore that. Phillips. Professor Evan Phillips. Another respectable academic who'd been sucked down into Oni's drain. Put on his serious face again. They told me he was devout, but I didn't realize how devout. Is that going to be a problem? Might be a bonus. Yes, they do tend to stick to a plan. I meant that he's a fundamentalist. The abiding truth, very, very old tradition of faith. Prompt me. I'm not an anthropologist. They're said to have squirreled away original forerunner relics from the time of their first contact. Their equivalent of saints' fingers. It must be my birthday. Osman wasn't sure when that really was. Today seemed as good a day as any day. Maybe they've got some schematics in a dusty drawer or something. Come on, don't keep him waiting. How is he with women? I don't think I've ever seen a female Sangeli. Do they keep them in purdah or something? It's not that simple. Phillips beckoned to her to follow. The ladies wield a hell of a lot of political power in the bloodline stakes. When you've got a few hours to kill, I'll explain it. She didn't, and couldn't wait. She walked up to the Sangeli, steeling herself not to call him an elite or a murdering hinge-head bastard. Osman was taller than the average man, and at 190, she wasn't used to having to look up at anybody. But the bishop towered half a meter above her like a monument in gold armor. For a moment, she found herself looking into a disturbingly featureless face before she settled on the black eyes and small, flaring nostrils just below them. The bishop was sniffing her scent. Unsettling didn't even begin to cover it. "Captain Osman," Phillips said cautiously, looking back and forth between her and the Sangeli. "Let me introduce you to Avu Med. Tell Cam, speaker for the servants of abiding truth.